at the end of Sefer Hamada. So keep on going. There you go. Past Hilchos Zara. There you go. Here's Hilchos Tshuva. So this is Hilchos Tshuva Perek Yud. Mm-hmm. So we're up to Perek Bet. And in your version, after Sefer Mitzvos, a little, there we go. A little before that. I went the wrong way. Sorry. Towards the end. Okay, after Avodah Zarah, right after you do Avodah Zarah, you need to do Tshuva. So, yeah, so here's Tshuva Perek Gimel, and we want to do Tshuva Perek Yud. Okay? So, Hilchos Tshuva is where the Rambam obviously collects all the halachos of Tshuva, but he also includes many other things that aren't overtly related to Tshuva and includes them in. One of the things that we're going to think about in this week and especially in coming weeks is how they relate to Hilchos Tshuva. What are they doing in Hilchos Tshuva? So, Perek Aleph was one perspective on Tshuva. Now, we are going to begin Perek Bet. Ezohi Tshuva Gemura. What is Tshuva Gemura? Zeh Shebal Yado Davar She'avar Bo Ze'efsher Biyado La'aso So U'Piresh Velo Asa Mipnei HaTshuva. It's a situation where someone has the opportunity to have done the very same chait they did the last time, but this time they refrain, and they refrain because of the tshuva that they have done. In other words,
this is what I learned.
Their tshuva. Perfect. So you don't have to listen to this. So they refrain because of the tshuva they have done. Meaning to say, their tshuva has caused a real change within them. It wasn't just something that was superficial, but a true change. So the Rambam explains, lo meira, velo mekishlon koach. They did not do the Aveira again, not because they were afraid somebody was looking, not because they were weaker. As we go through life, what's a Yetzer Hara for us at one point sometimes no longer attracts us or entices us. And the Rambam gives an example. Ketzad. Haresha Baal Isha Baveira. This is an example that's relevant for men, but such an example could be conceived of, no problem. Thank you again, everyone, for coming here. So, a person, a man slept with a woman in a prohibited way. Ulachar Zman Nisyached Ima. And after some time, he had Yichud with her, of course, which is Asar. Omed Vasoba continues to love her as he did. Uvekoch Gufo, and he's physically strong as before. Uve Medina Sha'avar, even the place is the same. Upirish velo avar, zehu bal tshuva gemura. Someone who still refrains, so he is a bal tshuva gemura. Now, we'll note this word because he keeps on stressing this is tshuva gemura, implying perhaps that there's such a thing as tshuva she'ena gemura. Is it possible that tshuva that's not 100% complete is still valid? We'll return to that question in a moment. It's an important question, I think, because it's one certainly that I struggle with. Hu sheshlomo amar v'zachar esbor echa b'yemei b'charusecha. This is what Shlomo said. Remember your Creator in your days of youth. Ad asher lo yavau yemei hara'a v'higiyu shanim asher tomar ein li b'hem chayfetz. Until or before the days of badness come, until the days where you say, "Ein li b'hem chayfetz, I have no longer any desires." Meaning to say that if a person repents at the end of their life, when they no longer struggle with the same desires they did at the time that they originally sinned, so that isn't considered tshuva gemura. Why? Because the reason why they're no longer sinning is because they don't really have that Yetzer Hara anymore. It doesn't reflect a true change. Now, does this mean that, thank you, Leah, does this mean that you can't do tshuva after you no longer struggle? So that's not what the Rambam means, because the Rambam elsewhere, we saw this last week, has told us that a person could do tshuva even to the day that they die. It's never too late to do tshuva, and tshuva's always effective. However, the fact that a person no longer sins in their old age doesn't reflect that they've done tshuva, because it could simply be that they no longer struggle with that. Whereas if a person could do the same aveira, and let me get some more chairs, And so you want to get some green chairs? If a person could do the same Aveira, and he doesn't do it, and the Rambam explains that's because of the tshuva he's done, so this is tshuva gemura. And this is based off of the Gemara. The Gemara cites the same idea, but it calls it Heichidami Baal Tshuva. What is a Baal Tshuva? Baal Tshuva is someone who could have sinned in the same way, but doesn't do it. And perhaps Rambam is understanding Baal Tshuva means someone who's literally a Baal on the Tshuva. In other words, he's Baalim on it. He's taken ownership. He's taken ownership of himself. And this is the type of Tshuva that reflects true change. And as we all know, true change is something that is exceedingly difficult. It's easy to do the Maisa Tshuva, to do Vidui, to Klap Hashavnu Bagadnu, but actually to truly change is something that's very, very difficult. No, I'm going to turn on the air conditioner. So, Rambam is going to elaborate upon this in the next halacha. So before we discuss it, let's read the next halacha. Umahi hatshuva, what is tshuva? Now this is an interesting question because he described tshuva in the last parak. But let's see what he says in this parak. Hu she'azov hachote chet'o v'yasiro mimachshavto v'yigmor b'libo shelo ya'asehu od. This is when a chote abandons his sin and he puts it out of his mind and he decides never to do it again. Sh'ne'amar yazov rasha darko v'yishaven machshavosav. The Rambam notes the Pasuk. The Pasuk doesn't just say that Yazor Shadarko, he abandons his ways, he changes his ways, but also Ish Aven Machshavosav, the sinner, his sin, his thoughts. In other words, his thought process has changed as well. V'chein Yisnachem Al Shavar, he regrets what he's done in the past. Shenemar Acharish Acharei Shuvi Nichamti V'Acharei Hivadi Safakti Al Yarech. After I've sinned, I've had remorse and regret. It's interesting. We'll talk about this a little later, but sometimes tshuva involves remorse after the tshuva, and sometimes it's the remorse that leads to the tshuva, that prompts the tshuva. These are two different models and types of tshuvas. V'gam nichlamti, I've also embarrassed. Ki nasasi cherpas ne'urai. V'yair alav, the Rambam says an amazing thing. V'yair alav yodea ta'alumos. God himself, who knows all secrets, could testify about him, shelo yashuv lezeh chet liolam, that he will never again return to this sin. Shenemar, v'lo nomar od elokeinu l'maseh yadeinu. And then the Rambam concludes, v'tzarich lihisvados b'svasav v'lomar inyanim elu shegamar b'libo. He has to go ahead and verbally confess about the things that he is already decided in his heart. So just to focus for one moment on the last line and then go back to the beginning. We noted last week that the Rambam referred to Vidui as before tshuva. And here the Rambam refers to Vidui after tshuva. And we suggested last week that there are actually two types of Vidui. There's the inspirational Vidui, the Vidui that inspires a person to do tshuva. And then there's the second type of Vidui, which is what? That to concretize the tshuva that you've already done. Tshuva is fleeting, change is difficult, it's easy to feel one way on Yom Kippur and the next day feel very differently. And in this case, the Vidui is to concretize what you've already done in your heart, what you've already concluded in your heart. But let's go back to what he said at the beginning. So tshuva is an absolute separation from the sin to the point that God himself will or could testify that you'll never do it again. This is very interesting. First of all, God knows the future. So if he would say you'll never do it again, you will do it again. But that's not what the Rambam says exactly. It doesn't say to the point that God knows you won't do it again. Then it could simply say God knows, not testify. And moreover, it could simply say to the point that you never do it again. In other words, while it seems that Rambam might be saying at the beginning that tshuva only works if you never again sin, I don't think the formulation implies that. And Many of the Svarim make this point explicitly. And I think this is something that is a little reassuring, because a lot of us perhaps don't reach this level of tshuva gemura, at least for all the things that we've done, to the point that we would never, that God could testify that we'll never do it again, that we never do it again. What happens, for example, if a person does tshuva during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva and Elul and Yom Kippur, and they really, really mean it? It's 100% sincere. And at the time that they do the tshuva, they say that they're never going to do it again, and they mean that they'll never do it again. And then, unfortunately, we sometimes find ourselves doing tshuva this year for the sins we've done last year. Now, obviously, that's not ideal. And perhaps that doesn't reflect that true tshuva has been done. But does that mean that the tshuva that we did do is worthless? Does that mean that it's of no value? If we don't think that we'll really be able to do tshuva in a way that we are never going to do it again, so is there no value? So perhaps you could say for the Rambam there is no value. However, from a number of sources we'll see that there is significant value to that, and perhaps even the Rambam will agree, as we'll explain shortly. First let me show you the sources that say this explicitly. Rav Sadia Gaon writes in the work Emunos Videos, the Avaer Od Ki Ha'adam Ka'asher Yaskim B'Eis Tshuvaso Ki Lo Yishaneh Tiyeh Tshuvaso Mekubeles. When a person decides at the time of his tshuva that he will never do it again, his tshuva is accepted. V'im tasi'uhu hata'ava achar kach l'shanos, and if desire entices him to regress, ein tshuvaso nifsedes. The tshuva that he did at the time is not lost, because at the time that the tshuva was done, it was in fact sincere. When he said he's never going to do it again, he meant it. And the fact that, unfortunately, I might regress does not retroactively undermine the tshuva that I did, assuming that the tshuva at the time that I did it was sincere. Ach, the Rav Sadia Gaon says, Yimchalu lo ha'avono shayu kodem ha'tshuva, the sins that you did before the tshuva will have been forgiven. V'yichtov alav ma'ashiyel acharav. And the sins that you did following the tshuva obviously will not be forgiven. For that, you'll need to do tshuva again. Likewise, the Meiri writes in the Chibur HaTshuva, Ve'en mize amin mi shebasa ha'tshuva gomer belibo lazov darko hara'a tachlis aziva. At the time of tshuva, you absolutely mean to abandon the sin. Aval achar ze yachricheyu yitzro lashuv lachto sheze amnam kvar haisa tshuva tshuva be'es asosa. Amiri gives an example. He too says that as long as the tshuva is sincere at the time that it was done, then it is valid. And he says, imagine, the Rambam said before, someone does tshuva, but he hasn't abandoned the chait. At the time that he did the tshuva, he didn't actually have in mind not to do it again. So that is like being tovel b'sheretz b'yado. It's like going to the mikveh while holding on to a sheretz. The sheretz causes you to become tummy. So obviously going to the mikveh is ineffective under such circumstances. But if, when you did the tshuva, you really meant it, and then, after the tshuva, you encountered a sheretz, so you become tamei again, it's true. But that doesn't make you tamei l'mafreya. It doesn't mean your tevila and your mikvah was non-effective. And perhaps that's what the Rambam means as well. And the Lechem Mishneh more or less makes the point in the Rambam. The idea is that there's two types of tshuva. There's tshuva gemura, and there's tshuva she'ena gemura. Tshuva gemura reflects that the person has truly changed. And if you've truly changed, you will not go back. You're not the same person. The person that was originally enticed has changed. They're gone. And that is absolute tshuva. However, that doesn't mean that tshuva she'ena gemura, where the person is sincere at the time of the tshuva, but they subsequently regress, that doesn't mean it's of no value. That too is of significant value. And a person will never really know which one it is. The only way you could know is if either A, you face the same nisayon and the next time you make it, or B, unfortunately you face the same nisayon and you don't make it. So this, I think, should give us hope, because a lot of times it's very frustrating, especially around this time of year, where we do tshuva and we find ourselves feeling like we're doing tshuva for the same thing that we did tshuva about last time. And we see from these sources that there is value to that. At the same time, you shouldn't comfort yourself and not strive for tshuva gemura, which is true change. And while on the one hand this gives us hope, the Rambam really describes over here what we should aim for, which is absolute and total tshuva. Yes?
Now, I'm kind of struggling with the Shiazov Chotzein Hazeh. What exactly does that
mean? With the what? I didn't hear.
Shiazov Chotzein Hazeh. What exactly does that mean? Because one day you can speak Lashon Hara, and the next day, you could have had it in mind all along that you don't want to speak Lashon Hara, and the next time, you're like, okay, I'm really not going to speak it, and you go back to it again.
Right.
So, each situation, every single day, can be a different situation.
Right. So, you're absolutely right. And the Rambam, I think that's an interesting point as well, which is that there's the possibility of sinning and having done tshuva gemura for that sin, but then facing the same avera but in a more difficult nisayon and failing, in a sense you did tshuva gemura for your first sin but you failed again. And the Rambam is I think giving a simplistic example for purposes of illustration. And he's telling us that when a person changes and when they grow, they can, in fact, there is the possibility. Let me give you a mashal. There are certain types of failings that we've probably all had in our past that we no longer struggle with. It's a true abandonment of that sin. That's because we've changed. We have improved. And while at one point in our lives that struggle was a real struggle, now it's almost second nature. We don't struggle with it anymore. And we've moved on. Rav Dessler famously describes the idea of the Nekudas HaBechira, where a person goes through life, and based off of the choices they make, they can move forward or they could regress. And when they move forward, they don't really struggle with the same things that at one point really was very difficult for them. Now they're going to struggle with new things. At any point, because we're human, at any point in our life, we're always going to be struggling with things. Hopefully, we move forward. So, I think what the Rambam here is describing when he describes tshuva gemura is someone who's really moved on to the point where they've abandoned the sin to such a degree that they don't even consider violating it. And then the Rambam adds, that's not just because they're older, but because they've done tshuva.
Is that not necessarily the first step according to the Rambam? Because you can't get to that point without the other.
Absolutely. And I think it's a process. Rambam here is saying a person will know that they've achieved tshuva gemura when they're faced with the same situation and this time they don't do it. But again, you're not supposed to put yourself in that situation. The Rambam's example, in fact, is a situation where it's asur to put yourself in that situation. He talks about yichud. But this is something that will let you know you've achieved tshuva gemura. But again, I think even according to the Rambam, a person should not give up on tshuva just because they think, well, I'll never succeed. I'll never get there. Whatever we could do, assuming it's sincere, is meaningful and is significant. Okay, halacha gimel. Kol hamisvadeh bidvalim v'lo gamar b'libo lazov. If someone does vidoy, they do the verbal declaration, but they don't actually have in mind to abandon the sin, and of course like the Rambam said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yodeh Machashavos. So then, HaReze Dome LeTovel V'Sheretz B'Yado. This is like going to the mikvah while holding on to a sheretz, which of course is the source of Tumah. She'en HaTvila Mo'eles Lo. Ad She'eshlich HaSheretz. The Tvila, which is tshuva, doesn't help if you throw off the plug. V'chein Hu Omer. U'mozdeh V'ozev Yerucham. Someone who does vidui, but also is ozev, will experience mercy. And the pasuk says umodev ozev, but the Rambam is saying ozev doesn't mean ozev, because at the time of tshuva you can't necessarily do it, but it means gamar belibo la'azov. Oh, hello. Perfect timing. He saw you and he started crying. Aha. The tzarich lefaret esachet, one must explicate the chet, one must say what he's done. Shenemar, ana chata ha'am hazeh chata'a gdola, v'yasu lahem egel zahav. This, of course, is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu's vidui on behalf of Klal Yisrael after the chet ha'egel. And it's very interesting because, of course, God knows what they did wrong. Moshe knows what they did wrong. Why was it necessary for Moshe to say, "Ana chata ha'am hazeh chata'a gdola, v'yasu lahem egel masecha"? Just say, "Ana chata ha'am hazeh chata'a gdola." Everybody knows what he's referring to. So the answer, the Rambam saying, is that part of vidui is being mefarit the chet, specifying, and as we saw earlier, one should be as specific as possible. And that's because the more specific we are, the more we will be able to acknowledge what we've done and be able to move on. In the 12-step program for alcoholics, so, you know, the first step is to say, I'm an alcoholic. At least that's the way they show it in the television shows. So that's really what the Rambam is saying over here. Of course you know what you've done wrong. Of course God knows what you've done wrong. So why do you have to say it? And the answer is, the first step is to say, I'm an alcoholic. You have to acknowledge it. You have to verbally declare it. One has to accept and take ownership for who they are. And once one has done that, so then one's able to move on. And if you can't do that and you can't even spell it out, so that's probably a sign you're not yet ready to move on. That's one of the reasons why, as we'll see shortly, the Rambam discusses the laws of free will in Hilchos Tshuva. Because, first of all, if we don't have freedom, there's no need to do Tshuva. After all, we didn't freely sin. And moreover, without free will, we can't do Tshuva. So, one of the biggest obstacles to Tshuva is really the failure to acknowledge our freedom, not to take ownership, not to take responsibility. The Medrash says that after Cain had killed Hevel, so God asked him what happened, and he denied that it was his fault. He says, it was your fault because you made me jealous, you didn't accept my karban, you allowed me to kill him. And as long as a person is not accepting ownership, not accepting responsibility, then tshuva will be impossible. You can't possibly succeed in changing if you don't take responsibility. Now, I think it's important to note here that taking ownership and taking responsibility does not necessarily mean that there weren't factors that were beyond my control that encouraged me and caused me to sin. The Rambam writes that a person has absolute freedom. A person could become as great as Moshe or as wicked as Yerovam, and we'll see this later. But at the same time, the Rambam also acknowledges in numerous cases that there are many factors that might bring a person to sin that are beyond his control. His nature. Certain people have certain predilections that lead them to sin in particular ways, things that other people don't have to struggle with. Their environment. The Rambam writes about how a person's environment are, environmental factors are things that cause him to sin. And in fact, and we'll talk more about this when we do free will, when we get up to Parakei, but it is the case that there may even be certain sins that are beyond a person's control due to their environmental factors, their nature, their nurture, whatever it is. We'll discuss whether such things exist. But I believe they do. So a person doesn't have to, when taking responsibility and ownership, that doesn't mean denying the fact that there were circumstances beyond our control that might have made this type of sin or struggle particularly difficult for us. In fact, Rav Huttner has a very fascinating letter. And he writes, if it is the case that there are certain types of sins which a person really has no control but to sin, so why is it that you have to do tshuva? Clearly you don't have to do tshuva for such sins. After all, they weren't in your control. You don't have to do it. And he writes that a person can never know what was in their control and what was beyond their control for the most part. It might in fact be the case that such a failing was beyond your control. But you don't know that. You don't know what you were capable of doing. Perhaps you were capable of trying harder. He suggests that's why we have a bracha in Shmoneh Esrei, HaRotzeh B'Tshuva, that God wants tshuva. What does it mean God wants tshuva? Wouldn't God rather we not sin in the first place? What's HaRotzeh B'Tshuva? And the answer is that he wants us to do tshuva even for the sins that it might have been the case that we had no choice but to commit. Because since you can't know that was the case, so a failure to attempt to do tshuva indicates a lack of awareness of the gravity of the sin. If we really appreciated what a sin is, so we wouldn't take the risk, as it were, of saying, well, I probably had no control. Rather, a person has to take ownership and take responsibility. So taking ownership and responsibility doesn't mean denying the fact that nature and nurture might have had a very large impact on your decisions in the past. But we also acknowledge that we ultimately do have freedom. Again, the scope of the freedom is an important question. We'll discuss that later. But ultimately, and certainly for the vast majority of the choices that we make, we do have freedom. And therefore, step one in tshuva is to acknowledge that. And step one in acknowledging that is to say, is to be mefaret the chet, acknowledge and accept my freedom, and then use that freedom to improve. Okay, the next halacha, halacha dalet. Midarkei atshuva, lios hashav tzo'ek tamid lifnei Hashem, bevechi uvetachanunim. Midarkei atshuva means that the Rambam here is going to be telling us the ways of a repentant. And that is to continuously scream and cry and pray, v'oset tzedaka kefi kocho, to give charity to the extent of his ability. This is, of course, reminiscent of utshuva, utfilo, utzdaka, ma'avir, and esra ha'gzeira. Those are three things. The Rambam mentions four, and the truth is the Rambam is based off of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which we'll quote in a moment. U'misrachei karbe min adavar shechata bo, and someone who has done tshuva will distance himself very far from the sin that he's done. He won't tempt himself because he recognizes the gravity of what he's done and the risk that he faces if he encounters the same situation again. It's true, like we saw before, the Baal Tshuva Gemura, even when facing the same situation, won't regress. But the Baal Tshuva Gemura will also never put himself in that same situation. Again, if we go back to the example of an alcoholic recovering, so the alcoholic recovering won't say, watch, let me show you how much progress I've made. I'm going to have a drink and then I'll stop. He won't take that first drink. And likewise, someone who's done tshuva, which among other things means recognizing what he's done, so of course he'll take steps to distance himself. And then the Rambam says an amazing thing. Umishane shmo, changes his name. Don't call me Henry, call me Bob. So it says, what does it mean? What's the significance of Mishane shmo? Kilomar. Ani acher, I'm a different person. Ve'eni oso ha'ish, sha'aso sam ha'masim. I'm not that same person that did those actions, that sin. Umishane ma'asav kulam letovah, and he changes all of his ways to good. Ulederach yisharan, to a straight path. The golem imakomo, and he even exiles himself from his place. He moves to a new place. Shegalos mechaperes avon, because galos causes a kaparas avon, mepnei shegoremes lo lihichana. It causes him to be humble. Ulios anav dishval ruach. When I go to a new place, nobody knows me. I might have been a big shot where I started out. Everybody knows me, I have friends, people respect me. But a new place, I'm a nobody. And that act is also something that helps the tshuva process. So the idea of this Rambam comes from a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Tazayin. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Arba Dvarim Mekarin Gzardino Shaladan. There are four things that are Kore Gzardino. What are they? Staka, Za'aka, Shinoi Hashem, B'Shinoi Masa. So that's what we said before. Tshuva, Tfilot, Staka, Ma'avira, Nesra, Gzeira. But Rav Amnon, who composed Unasanak Tokev, combined Shinoi Hashem, B'Shinoi Masa as Tshuva. But the Rambam here quotes the Gemara, and the Gemara refers to this as things that are Korea Gzardino, and the Rambam writes that these are Midarke HaTshuva. So what exactly does this mean? What's meant, for example, by changing one's name? So the Meiri writes on that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, what is the significance of changing one's name? The Yasa Be'atzmo Tachbulos Lihis Orer B'Shinoi Hanhagosav Kigon Shinoi Hashem. A person should do Tachbulos, tricks, things that will awaken him concerning his changed behavior. And what the Rambam here is telling us, and what the Meiri is telling us, is that behavioral patterns are very deeply rooted and very hard to break. And especially when it comes to things where we have become habituated and we're trying to do tshuva, so simply saying, I don't want to do it again, will not suffice. Even if it's totally sincere. And that's because we've done it so many times. If it's something that we just did once or twice, so then it's not so hard to stop. But if it's something that we've done frequently, so then it's very difficult. And that's what the Rambam says, that Shinui Hashem is something that is a big break. It's a break in the life that we've lived that has caused us to err in the ways that we have erred. And we need to break it. And so what this Rambam means is that there are four tools not to regress. And that's why the Rambam writes this is not part of the tshuva process. This is midarkei tshuva. These are things that a person could do to help him retain his tshuva. And someone who genuinely repents will take those steps to make sure that they don't regress. I remember in Michtav Meliyahu, so Rav Dessler writes about his struggle to quit smoking. I think this is quite old, so probably dealing with 50, 60, 70 years ago, I don't know. But it was before Surgeon General started warning about smoking, but Rav Dessler felt in himself that this is something unhealthy. He was coughing, and he writes about how at night he would be feeling lousy, he would decide not to smoke, and he would wake up the next morning, and he would think, oh, what's another cigarette going to do? It's not one more cigarette's not going to make a difference. And of course, his decision at night was gone. So he said that, what did he do? He went ahead and he told all of his talmidim and all of his colleagues that he quit smoking. And at that point, he created a situation where he was so embarrassed to smoke again that he had no choice. In other words, these are the type of tachbulos that the Rambam, that the Meiri are discussing. A person has to know their weak points. And sometimes that means, like the Rambam says, not getting near the situation. If, again, if we go back to the example of the alcoholic, so certainly not to take one drink, but not to go to a party where there's drinking, because they know if they go to a party where there's drinking, it's going to happen. I remember on the topic of quitting smoking, so I heard on the radio, I think it was This American Life. Now you know what I listen to when I'm not learning. Nobody even knows what it is. You're lucky. So anyway, it was a person who also had a difficult time quitting smoking. She had quit many, many times, and each time she failed. So she finally came up with the following strategy. It really goes back to Greek mythology. But she said like this. She said, if I smoke one more time, I'm going to give $5,000 to the Ku Klux Klan. She was trying to figure out what is the absolute worst thing she could do. You know, if she says, if I smoke more, I'll give money to tzedakah. So, okay, not so bad. Give money to tzedakah. The worst thing. And it worked. And psychologists explain that the reason why it works is quite interesting. Because when it comes to most things, what's the reason why we keep on regressing? I think I once read that there was a study that 95% of New Year's resolutions fail. And it's remarkable because people keep on trying them again and again. Usually, when we're so bad at something, so we'll give up. But yet, New Year's resolutions, hopefully tshuva is a little better, but I think we all know it's far from perfect. We keep on messing up, and yet we keep on doing it again. And part of the reason is because when we make those resolutions, when we do tshuva, we really do mean it. So what happens? Why do we do it? The person decides to quit smoking. Why? Because they're afraid that they'll get lung cancer. So when are they going to get lung cancer? Not when they take the next puff. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. So the pain that they're worried about is a long way off, and the pleasure that they seek is immediate. And there's also pain in forgoing that cigarette. If you're addicted, it's not easy to simply stop. So we're dealing with a far-off benefit versus a very close benefit. And as humans, we have a very hard time thinking so far off in the future. And the same thing is certainly true with respect to sin. Whether we're thinking of Olam Haba and Gan Eden and Gehenim, or even if not, even if we're thinking of being a better person and doing what's right and being closer to Hashem. But all those are sort of distant. And that next chet, whatever it is very immediate. So the chap of this lady was, she said, okay, if the pleasure is immediate, I'm going to make the pain immediate. Instead of worrying about getting lung cancer 20 years from now, so I'm going to make it very painful now, immediately, to smoke again. Giving $5,000 to the Ku Klux Klan is very painful. And that's an example of the types of tachbulos that the Rambam is saying. And everybody knows what works for them, and I don't think most averos call for such extreme measures. But the Rambam and the Gemara here is giving examples, and he's telling us that we really have to be honest in recognizing and accepting the extent to which it's so easy to regress. And when you do tshuva on Yom Kippur and you're feeling so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the tears are flowing and the songs are beautiful and everything is wonderful, so it's very easy to forget about the real world, the world you're going to return to after Yom Kippur is over. And that's why the Rambam says that a person, when doing tshuva, has to make sure to take the steps to ensure that their tshuva is permanent. And again, everybody should think about what works for them. The Rambam continues. Halacha hei. B'shevach gadol l'shav, shi'isvadeh b'rabim v'yodiyah p'sha'av. It's a great praise for someone who repents to publicize the sins that he's done. Umegalav eiro shebeino levein chaveiro. He should publicize the averus that he did between a person and another person. Vomer lahem amnam chatasi leploni vasisi lo kach vekach. V'hareini hayom shav v'nicham. V'cholam is ga'ev ve'eino modia. But someone who's full of pride and refuses to publicize what he's done, elam nechasep shav, but instead hides and covers up his sins, ein tshuvaso gemur, his tshuva is not complete. Shene'emar, mechasep shav lo yatzliach, someone who covers up his sins will not succeed. Bamedvar mamurim, v'aveiro shebein adam l'chaveilo. When is this true with respect to sins between a person and their friend? Aval, v'aveiro shebein adam l'makom, ein sarich l'farseim atzmo. When it comes to bein adam l'makom, a person does not need to publicize his sins, and on the contrary, the azus panim la hilo imgilim. It's chutzpah, it's azus to publicize them. These were sins between you and God, and therefore tshuva is between you and God. And there's no need, and it's in fact inappropriate, to get up and publicize and say, I did this and I did that. Ella shav lifnei akel baruchu. One should repent before God, uporet chata'av lefanav, and before God one should enumerate their sins, umisvadeh aleihem lifnei rabim stam. So when he does do tshuva publicly, like on Yom Kippur, ashamnu bagadnu, one doesn't specify what they've done. Avitova hilo shelo nisgalav ono shenemar, but this we say, ashrei nasui pesha kisui chata'a. Praiseworthy is the person, and such a person is forgived, who's mechase his sins. Somebody told me today that they were once in a shul in Borough Park, and somebody got up after Shabbos Mincha, made a clap, and he said, I was mevaze ploni, and what I did wasn't right, and I feel very bad for him. And then the other guy come up, and he said, machalach, machalach. So I've never actually seen anyone do this, but it's something that we should do.
Is that just for things like have been done publicly? Like what if you heard somebody else,
could
only they know about it?
Exactly, that's a good question. So you're absolutely right. A lot of times, especially if it's a chet bin adam l'chaveiro, they don't want anyone else to know about it, in which case it's obvious that you shouldn't hurt them further by publicizing it. I think he's talking about the type of chet where, especially if you've harmed them or harmed their reputation or the like, where... Exactly. If the sin has been done publicly, where publicly confessing is going to help ameliorate the situation, help them feel better, and the like. Yes? So it's a good question, and generally speaking, for no purpose, we don't speak Lashon Hara about ourselves. If you want to think of it as lashon hara l'toeles about yourself, here it's l'toeles because you're helping correct the situation, him feel better, and this is part of your process of tshuva. So the Ravid adds, Amar Avram, l'chein ba'averos ha'meforsamos v'migulos, af al pi she'enan im chavero. Likewise, even when it comes to an avera ben adam l'makom, but if the avera was committed publicly, everybody already knows about your chait, so then the vidui should also be done publicly. Shekimo shenisparsem hachait, kach tzarech lefarsem hachuva. Just as the chait was publicly violated, so too the repentance has to be publicized, the yispayesh beravid. Now, the Rambam is one example of when public vidui is appropriate, and the Ravid has a different example. Is there a disagreement here? Or is the Ravid simply giving another example? The Rambam might agree to the Ravid, and the Ravid agrees to the Rambam. So the source of this is a Gemara in Yoma, and the Gemara asks a contradiction between two pesukim. On the one hand, the pasuk says, Ashrei nasui pesha kisui chata'a, which implies that being nechasa the chait, hiding the chait is praiseworthy, ashrei. And we have another pasuk, chasep sha'av lo yatzliach, someone who covers up will never succeed. So the Gemara has two resolutions. The first resolution is what the Ravid said, ha b'chait she'enu meforsam, ha b'chait meforsam. A public sin should be publicly confessed, a private sin should be privately confessed. And the second answer is Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amar Rav Nachman, Kan Baver Sheben Adam L'Chavero, Kan Baver Sheben Adam L'Makom. The Rambam's answer, Ben Adam L'Chavero, you should publicize, Ben Adam L'Makom, keep to yourself. So the Lecha Mishnah maintains that if the Rambam didn't quote the first answer of the Gemara, so the implication is he rejects it, meaning to say he thinks we pass him like Rav Nachman, and therefore he's saying, even if it's Bein Adam L'Makom that was committed publicly, you shouldn't confess publicly. The Kesef Mishnah disagrees, and he thinks even the Rambam would agree. Now, if that's true, that the Rambam would agree, why didn't he paskin it? So perhaps the answer is because it's not part of vidui. Vidui is between you and God if you've sinned against God. If you've sinned and hurt another person, then it involves that other person. But if you've sinned against God, even in a public way, you, as it were, obviously a chait doesn't really hurt God. Im chatasa matifal bo, rabu psha'acha mayaselo, as the pasuk in Yov says, you haven't harmed him. But still, when we do tshuva, we are acting as though we've hurt him. And therefore, the vidui is only between us and him. Now, it may be the case that it's a good idea to publicize your tshuva. After all, especially if you're mechalel shem shamayim and doing your sin, you should try to rectify it, like we said last week, by doing a kiddush Hashem. But that's not the vidui. Vidui is between you and God, if it's a bein adam l'chavero. And therefore, the Rambam maintains that the only time the tshuva includes vidui, which means telling another person or even publicizing it, is when it's bein adam l'chavero. So he might agree that at times, if you sin publicly, you should confess publicly. But that confession is not part of the vidui per se.
There aren't certain averos that require more than just tshuva itself,
though. Yep, and that's what we saw in last week's Rambam, Perek Aleph.
He's saying,
he's just saying that any hate that's not a regular, average thing,
something.
No, but all we could really do is tshuva. That's what's in our hands. So it might be the case that kapara isn't achieved without Yisurin or without Yom Kippur or whatever it is. But what can we do? We could do tshuva. Tshuva, of course, includes vidui. It includes not doing the chet again. It includes trying to rectify the situation.
Right, but then maybe publicizing it,
maybe. And there might be makom to that. One has to be very careful about that. Generally speaking, torturing yourself is not the right approach. So that's not to say that there's no makom for that ever, and perhaps especially busha with respect to the chait, but again, that's not part of the formal vidui. Okay. Even though these Rambams that we're about to do are very important, we'll go through them a little quicker because I'd like to finish the parak each week. Afal pi shatshuva v'atzaka yafel yolam, even though tshuva and tzaka and prayer, crying out to Hashem, are always appropriate, are always good. V'asares hayamim shebein rosh hashanah v'yom ha-kippurim hu yafe b'yoser u'miskabelis b'yoser. During the 10 days between Yom Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they are especially appropriate and they are most accepted. Shenamar dirshu Hashem v'matzo kira'uhu b'yoso karov. When is he especially close to us during these 10 days? When it comes to a tzibur, so whenever a tzibur does tshuva and they cry out, they're always immediately answered. There's a koach to the tshuva and the tefillah of a tzibur which does not exist for yachid. And that's why, of course, when there is an eis tzara, we always try to get together as a tzibur to do tshuva and tefillah. Shenemar, kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav. When it's b'chol koreinu, when it's a tzibur, when it's berabim, so then Hashem always listens. Yom HaKippurim, huzman tshuva l'chol Yisrael, yachidu l'rabim. Yom HaKippurim is huzman tshuva for all of Israel, for individuals, and for the community. Bem keitzu mechila uslicha liYisrael. Perhaps, though I don't know if we'll get to it this week, we have to describe the difference between mechila and slicha and kapara, but it's the pinnacle of mechila and slicha for Yisrael. It's interesting, there's a bit repetitive. What's the difference between the Yachid Urabim and liYisrael? So the Rav in Ala Tshuva develops this idea very beautifully. The Ramban writes that there is a concept in the Torah called a karban tzibur. And a karban tzibur is not just a karban that a bunch of individuals bring together. That's a karban shutvas. If you have 10,000 people all contribute a small amount and together bring a karban, that's a karban shutfus. It's fundamentally a karban yachid. It has the halachos of a karban yachid. It's just many yachidim getting together. A karban tzibur is a karban that everybody contributes to, and the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It, as it were, has no owner. The owner is Klal Yisrael. And so we could ask, what is Yom Kippur? Is Yom Kippur a zman of tshuva and mechila for yechidim or for Klal Yisrael? And the Rambam here is answering both. It's zman tshuva l'chol yachid u'l'rabim. Yachid, the individual, rabim, a group of individuals getting together, but also v'uketz mechila v'slicha liYisrael. It is a time of mechila and slicha for all of Yisrael coming together, for Yisrael as an entity. And that is why there is a special obligation to repent on Yom Kippur. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, even though there's always an obligation to repent. Lefikach, the Rambam writes, Chayavim hakol lasos tshuva ulesvados b'yom ha-kippurim. Even though, of course, you always have to do tshuva, but there's an additional aspect of tshuva and vidui on Yom Kippur. Mitzvahs vidui Yom HaKippurim, shiyaschil me'erev hayom, we begin on Erev Yom HaKippurim, kodim shiyochal, before you eat the suda mafsekes, this is at mincha, we say vidui for the first time. Shema yechanek v'suda kodim shizvada, imagine that, person goes ahead, they're one moment away from Yom Kippur, and they choke on a bone at their suda mafsekes, and they don't make it. We don't want that to happen. So, we start early. And that's among other things, because we know that Erev Yom HaKippurim has aspects of Yom HaKippurim. Achila b'Yom HaKippurim is kilu mis'aneh, on Yom HaKippurim. And it also serves a practical purpose, which is that because we've begun the process before our Suda Nafsekas, of course, I'm sure none of your Sudos HaNafsekas would be a place of levity, but the Suda Nafsekas is part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And when we begin by doing Vidui beforehand, that sets the tone. V'af al pi shehizvada kodim she'achal, Chozer Misvalda, Belele Yom Kippur, Arvis, you do Vidui again at Myriv. V'chozer Misvalda B'Shachris, U'V'Musaf, U'V'Mincho, V'Ne'ila. And again, on the four daytime prayers. V'Heichan Misvalda, where is Vidui done? Yachid Misvalda Achar Tfilah. So the individual does Vidui at the end of the Tfilah, right before Elokai Netzor. V'shaliach tibur be'emtzit filasu be'bracha revis, on the fourth bracha, meaning fourth bracha, and Chazar Sashat is of course very long on Yom Kippur, but that's when the vidui of the tibur is done. Havidui shenahagu bo kol Yisrael aval anachnu chatanu bo ikar vidui. The vidui that Klal Yisrael is knowing to do is aval anachnu chatan, those three words, but we have sinned. Now, what does this mean exactly? Rambam here says it's the Ikar Vidui. If you remember from Parak Aleph, the Rambam also told us what Ikar Vidui was, and that contains six steps. So which one is it? Is Vidui, Ikar Vidui, aval anachnu chatanu, or the six steps of Parak Aleph? So very briefly, I think the answer is that this is the Vidui of Yom Kippur, the additional Vidui. When a person does tshuva, and hopefully they do their tshuva as soon as they've sinned, it's never a good idea to wait. So then that tshuva requires the complete vidui, which includes ana Hashem, it includes charata, it includes kabbalah al haba, it includes being mefarit achet, it includes busha and chlima and the like. But even if we've done tshuva before Yom Kippur, and we're even omeid b'tshuva, on Yom Kippur, because of the special kapara of the day, and especially it being a kapara of Klal Yisrael, so there's an additional component. And that is not part of the regular tshuva, and that is what the Rambam says, for this, the Ikar Vidui is aval anachnu chatanu. And the Rambam says that that's true even if you've already been forgiven. And therefore, Averu Shesvada Alem B'Yom HaKippurim Zeh Chozer Misvada Alem B'Yom HaKippurim Acher. Even if you did Vidui in past on Yom Kippur, and we believe that the tshuva has been accepted, and you're all made b'tshuva, still on Yom Kippur, the second type of Vidui, the Vidui Aval Anachnu Chatanu, is repeated. Afal Pisho made b'tshuva so. Shenemar Kipshai Ani Eida V'Chatasi Negdi Samid. Even once one has done tshuva, a person should always remember their past, because if you forget your past, you're likely to repeat the past. And if you remember the past and you appreciate where you've come from and how you've grown, so then you'll be able to grow even further. There's much more to say about this, and I said I would finish the parak, but it's also late. So we will, Be'ezras Hashem, next time finish the parak quickly, and we'll see the next parak.